It is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church Sunday, one of them. There's actually this week and next week. We're only going to do it this week in our church. It's an incredible opportunity. There's several organizations that track what's going on around the world. And there's a lot going on around our world. Myanmar is in the news with a bunch of churches being torn down by the soldiers. China's in the news. There's incredible persecution against people just because they say we believe in Jesus. Just based on that, there are all sorts of things going on. There's a world watch list put out. And it's color-coded up there. There's a couple copies of it on the display table that Chris DeYoung set up. And there's extreme levels of persecution. There's very high levels of persecution. And there's high levels of persecution in the different colors. I encourage you to check out the map later. But it can be such a big issue. It's just overwhelming. The thousands of people that are impacted as churches are torn down, as families are broken up, people are put in jail and in prison just because they believe in Jesus. And, you know, often we in the West think, well, their primary prayer concern would be that they would face no persecution or come and rescue us from this. The first request of persecution is persecuted Christians is to pray for us. Pray for us. We want to do that today. We want to spend some time in prayer, some from the front, some in the pews. I know it'll be awkward for some. That's okay. God hears our prayer. I don't think I've ever sung that last song that we just did. Hear your children praying. Do we identify? We have some specific stories we want to walk through this morning. And ways that we can pray for the persecuted church. Simply because they believe in Jesus. That's why they're being persecuted. They can't get jobs because no one will hire them unless they renounce their faith, for example. There's just all sorts of stuff. There might be a few of you here today that think, wow, it'd be exciting if the soldiers came and tore our church down, I wouldn't have to sit through an hour-long service. But the incredible impact of it on people's lives. And then they arrest people and put them in prison. Well, one of those people is Asia Bibi. A young woman that as she was at, well, I'll read this. This is what was put out for the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church under some of their children's material. Asia Bibi is a Christian woman in Pakistan who has been in jail since 2009. 9 years in jail. She has a husband and two daughters, Isha, age 13, and Isham, age 10. Asia worked on a farm near their home in Pakistan. Her boss was a Muslim, and so were the other women who worked on the farm with her. In fact, only three Christian families lived in that whole town. Everyone else was Muslim. One day at work, the Muslim women told Asia about Islam, the religion of Muslims. Asia told the Muslims that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that he rose again and is alive. She told them that Muhammad, the man who started Islam, is not a true prophet. The Muslim women were angry at Asia and they hit her. Some Muslim leaders wanted to make Asia ride through the village on a donkey as a punishment. And instead, the police put Asia in jail. It's against the law in Pakistan to insult Islam or Muhammad, or even to say what you truly believe. Leaders insisted that Asia had broken the law, their laws of blasphemy. Isha and Hashem, her two daughters, and their father missed Asia very much. One day officials let them visit her for about 15 minutes before she went to a court hearing. Asia told her visitors, her family, that she prayed every day at 3 a.m. in the jail. She thanked God that the guards had not hurt her, but she missed her family very much. She's actually fortunate that the guards had not hurt her. Many put in jail, further, they're abused in jail in one way or another. In July 2015, Asia's family got a glimmer of hope when Pakistan's highest court overturned a death sentence. She was actually given the death sentence for what she had said in 2010. But the highest court had overturned that. And then they end with, we need to keep praying for her. So let's do that. Asia is just one of thousands of people around this globe who are being persecuted just because they believe in Jesus. And as we pray, feel free to gather with a few people around you. Feel free to pray just by yourself. But, Lord, hear your children pray. Can we identify what would it do to our families if one of our family members is plucked out and put in jail for 9 years? Just for believing in Jesus. Our society, I would say, is moving that direction quite rapidly. Pray that God will strengthen and protect and encourage them. If we go to the next slide there. Or pray for Christians who are imprisoned is on the next slide. So I'll just, if I can look at you, Ethan, in the whatever, it'll flow through a few slides if you need some prompting of how to pray for the persecuted Christians. If you're just praying and God's directing you, if you have some thoughts on how to pray for the persecuted church, that's excellent. Just pray. But let's do that. Let's cry out to God and pray for these brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll start and I'll throw it out there, pray for a while, and I'll bring us back together. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. You promised you would build your church, and you're doing amazing things. There's other Sundays where we celebrate how many Muslims and people of other false religions come to a true faith in you, Jesus. We celebrate that. We hear about that. Things going on around the world, how you are reaching and touching people with your truth and your grace and transforming lives, and they learn to live in the freedom that you provided. And this Sunday, we recognize how broken and distorted this world is, that people are arrested, put in jail, and even killed for simply saying they have a faith in you. We pray for them, God. Pray for those who have been imprisoned for their faith. Hear our prayers now. Can project as well as Leo can, but just pray in small groups. Pray out loud, pray quietly, but pray. Continue to pray for this persecuted church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that as distorted as this world is, you are full of grace and truth. You are willing to receive everyone who turns to you. No matter what our background is, where we're at currently in life, you receive us as we are. Thank you that you don't lie to us. Your word clearly says your followers should expect persecution. You were persecuted. You were the perfect man. Fully loving. And still you were persecuted. And those who follow you should expect persecution. But we pray for those where are experiencing it right now. They're imprisoned. They need strength and protection and encouragement. Courage to stand strong. And provision for their families. Faith in you, Jesus, would you minister to them? They can't meet together regularly with fellow believers now. Would you strengthen their faith anyway, supernaturally and within those prisons? Pray for government officials to come to know you, Jesus, as a true Lord and Savior, as their Lord and Savior. They are not the enemy. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And they don't see what they're doing. They're blind and dead in their trespasses. So we pray for them, even those committing the persecutions. And we pray for Christian converts from other false religions, especially where it's of a great cost. I pray for wisdom of how and when to tell their family and friends that they are now followers of yours, Jesus. I pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I read through several of the stories on the website in the children's section in particular, Asia Bibby is being one of them. And I picked hers in particular. She's in the news right now. I updated this last week. And there's incredible protest because her case went right to the Supreme Court of Pakistan. And she was acquitted. That means she should be released and freed. But there was thousands of traditional Islam, people of Islam. There's widespread support for severe punishments of blasphemers in Pakistan. They don't want her released. Her family lives in fear if she is released. And there's thousands of people protesting. They want death penalty for blasphemers. Well, a lawyer, Salman Taseer, took up Asia Bibi's case and called for reform of the blasphemy laws. As I said, her husband and daughter say that they fear for their safety if they remain in Pakistan, if she's released. But the news continues. I updated this already last week, but it's continuing to unfold. The radicals put so much pressure on the Pakistani government that the government reached an agreement with them, ruling that this, the Supreme Court decision, it can now be appealed or challenged, and to put a travel ban on Bibi and her family. So if she's released, she can't leave the country to a place of safety. So they've put made this agreement, these parameters on her. This is not an unusual story. When there's some sense of freedom being brought and people experiencing that and a true sense of justice happening, then radicals push against that and they want to restrict that in some way. Again, would we pray that the Christians will boldly witness for him, right? How many people did this discourage? We understand the anxiety we feel in sharing the truth of the gospel and who Jesus is with the people around us. We know right now we're not going to be sent to prison for that, or our family members. We know they're not going to come this week and tear down our church. We have a different level of persecution here, and there's a different level of consequences should we share our faith. But everybody that heard, right, people of Pakistan have heard Asia Bibi's in prison for 9 years. Her case is here, it's there, it's floating around. What's that do to the believers in that country? Does it encourage them to share their faith? Or do they want to shrink back in fear rather than live by faith? We can understand that. Would we pray, spend a couple minutes in prayer again, a shorter time than last time, but for those persecuted Christians who boldly witness, even to their persecutors, and that Christians in free nations would choose to stand with those our persecuted brothers and sisters. I'll say more about that. But can we stand with them, right? We're brothers and sisters. Think if this was your biological family, your relatives who were facing this. It would be much more personal, right? This is the family of God. We don't see Asa Bibi meeting here every week, but she's our sister in Christ. Can we pray like that for her and others experiencing incredible things around this planet? Again, pray in small groups, alone if you must, but I would push you to encourage you to take advantage of this time of praying together and praying for the persecuted church. Lord Jesus, we offer these prayers, God. We can identify to some sense, not completely, imperfectly for sure, but to some sense what these people must be going through. Would you bring thoughts to our minds? Help us pray and cry out to you. You are the God who is alive and who answers. Hear our prayers, we pray. Heavenly Father, this is just one opportunity for us to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. I pray it would be just a reminder that we would pray more often and pray personally and passionately for those around the globe who are really facing hard decisions, hard consequences to being followers of yours. And I pray, yes, for courage, God, but we often want to ask for more courage for them out there, the missionaries we support and the people experiencing persecution. But may we in the process be encouraged, receive courage from you. Those who persecute us or speak something in us, in some way, we wouldn't just take in a spirit of offense against them and hate them, but we would pray for those who speak something against us as well. We would practice what we are praying for others by the power of your Spirit, God. And we would stand with our brothers and sisters who are persecuted. We would pursue peace and justice and love mercy and walk humbly before you, God. It's not because we're anything special that we experience a different kind of persecution. We happen to be here right now, and help us enjoy the freedoms we have to read your word and to meet together and take full advantage of it, because we may not have it all the time, and because it's our opportunity to grow with you and one another. We lift up our brothers and sisters before you. God, minister to them as only your Holy Spirit can, and help us play a greater role in walking with them. I pray in your name. Amen. I also, Chris also found this. I don't know, I didn't find the devotional, but there's a devotional titled Pray with the Persecuted Church, based on 2 Corinthians 12:10. And I put a longer piece up on the PowerPoint. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. What a crazy statement Paul makes there, eh? I am content. I'm at peace with receiving this. A lot of times we're not even content with the good gifts we get, right? Well, we are for a little while maybe, but then we want something bigger, something better. He's truly content with weaknesses, insults. I often want to retaliate when I'm insulted, or I feel hurt and want to break that relationship. Hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. As he learns to rest in Christ. The first request of the persecuted church is that we pray for them, as I mentioned earlier. And correspondingly, they are usually great models of people of prayer, which we can learn to emulate. They are actively praying. But we often need to be reminded that they do not ask us to pray for them, but only to pray for them. But to pray with them. If we pray for them, we will pray for their safety and the termination, the ending of their persecution. They want us to pray with them, which means we will pray for the advance of the gospel in their land, that they will bear fruit that will last, and for perseverance and fearless courage in the face of suffering. Pastor Samuel Lam from the place in China that I can't read, has an interesting prayer for severe situations of persecution, which expresses his trust in a great God. He prays, Lord, I rejoice in how you are going to work this out. And he leaves it in God's hands rather than dictating. Moses Ji, a Chinese church leader who spent more than 20 years in jail for his faith, says that when asking visitors to pray for him, he is really after three distinct outcomes. First, I want them to experience the blessing of prayer for themselves. It's an opportunity to engage in a dialogue with Almighty God. They will go to God on my behalf, but they will receive a great blessing from being in the presence of God. What an awesome perspective from a man experiencing persecution. Second, I know that as they pray, their burden for the persecuted will increase. And as their burden grows, so their commitment to assisting us in all sorts of other ways will increase also. Prayer alone makes them be the body. We are in this together. Third, I want them to release more of God's power into our situation through intercession, since I know that God has bound himself not to act until we ask. He says, ask. ask. Today is a great day to glorify God in our lives and those of the persecuted church. Today, will we pray with the church, not just for, but we're in this together. They're part of our body. And we pray like that. I want to read another story here so we remember that we're praying with them. This one's based on Romans 12:21. It should come up on the screen there too, I think. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Never avenge yourselves. I put a larger passage up there. But Achaia and Sudhamani are Christian farm workers in Orissa, a state in India. They have three daughters and one son. Their 10-year-old daughter, Namrata, taught the world a lesson about forgiveness when her story was in the news. Radical Hindus in Orissa recently attacked Christian families and property. When the violence began, Akara and Sudhamani, the parents, left their home, a wooden shack, to hide in the forest. They sent Namrata and the other children to hide with their oldest daughter, Trusita, who had already moved out from the home. Trusita worked as a live-in housekeeper for a Christian family. Radical Hindus attacked the house. The children hid in a bathroom. The Hindus left, but they put a bomb in the dresser drawer on their way out. The Christians left the house after the attackers were gone, except Namrata. She was curious, most children are, and wanted to explore the damages. The bomb exploded and Namrata got very seriously hurt. The parents returned the next day and they found Namrata and took her to the hospital where doctors helped her heal. Many other Christians were hurt in the Orissa attacks. This was a widespread thing several years ago. The Hindus brought them trouble, pain, and sorrow. No one would have blamed Namrata if she chose to be angry and miserable and desired revenge. But she chose another way. We forgive the Hindu radicals who attacked us, she said. They were out of their minds. They do not know the love of Jesus. For this reason, I want to study so that when I am older, I can tell everyone how much Jesus loves us. I feel loved by the people of India and by so many people in the world who have prayed for me. She is encouraged by those who pray. Remember, what an attitude. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Stephen, the first Christian martyr in the New Testament, says, Father, forgive them. Recognizing that they're blind and dead in their trespasses, and our battle's not against flesh and blood, right? We often want to take it out on the persecutors, but those being persecuted don't want to take it out on their persecutors. They are praying for them. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Isn't this challenging? What they're experiencing and the little bit of persecution I get, and I want to do harm to them. Should be convicting. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's our last time in prayer. Would you pray for those who are being persecuted? Thank God for their attitude that is so Christ-like in them, but also pray for us, that we would face it with such a Christ-like attitude. Let's spend a couple minutes in prayer. Lord Jesus, again, we bow before you. You are more than just a great example. You are God over all, and we've said you're God over us. And it's our desire that we become more like you. Would you remind us of these things? Would we repent of our sinful attitudes? Of vengeance and evil that that we wouldn't be overcome with that. We would be filled with remembering how you've shown us grace and goodness when we haven't deserved it, and we would be freed up, much like our persecuted brothers and sisters are freed up to serve you as you are, and we could overcome evil with good by the power of your Spirit. God, strengthen your church, those out there somewhere around the world, and those within this place this morning. Would you hear our prayers for us as we pray with our persecuted brothers and sisters? We are one here today. Jesus, this can seem so arm's length to us, and yet it can be so personal too. Those we encounter that we disagree with, do we slip into treating them like they are our personal persecutor because they hold a different view? They don't know that every life is valuable and has intrinsic worth, and we do understand that. Or they're confused about one of the other many issues. They have a different political slant or a belief in some ideology. Help us not treat them as the enemy, but to overcome evil with good. And Father, we pray for those who are persecuted, who are truly experiencing evil things done to them simply because they are followers of yours. God, we grieve this. This is horrible. We know it grieves you. And we pray for strength, for courage. I thank you for their attitude, that they are praying for their persecutors, willing to forgive by the power of your Spirit, that some would come to know you. There's a bigger thing going on than an individual or a group's persecution. But you are bringing about your good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we don't get that because we think things would just be set right immediately if that was to happen. You are leading people to a saving knowledge of you, Jesus. Would you continue to do that, God? All around the world, be with your people. Strengthen your people. Refine your people. Renew your people. And grow your church, God. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Going to move into a time of communion. So if those serving this week would come forward to help do that, it'll just be a moment. As we transition, just that word "with" sticks with me. Are we with them? Somewhere they've testified, these persecuted believers that said, I'm a follower of Jesus. And they've made that known, even though some of their families have disowned them, there's consequences, persecution they're facing. And we understand what Jesus went through on the cross and that relationship with his Father being so intimate, and his Father meaning to turn away as he took on the sin of the world, our sin. I think as we pass out the bread, would we use this as a time of confession and repentance? Of our timidity to proclaim Christ as he really is. What he's done for us, what he's done for this person. Our timidity to love, our unwillingness to love, and our quick response to hate, our attitude of complacency with what's going on around the world or even in people's lives, and to approach people with compassion, our propensity to take on other idols and make them supreme, whether our comfort or our safety or as something else, where Jesus isn't Lord. We use this time as a time of compassion and repentance. We would be renewed. We could meet with Jesus unhindered. Nothing there. What's he bringing to our minds? Let's give it to him. Confess it. There's forgiveness. There's forgiveness at the cross. We spoke about it last week. We have access to Almighty God. Let's take that access. But let's also repent of those things that the Spirit is revealing in our lives that are not Christ-like, that are not reflective of his character. Lord Jesus, you gave your body willingly, broken for us. And we are the recipients. Help us receive today what you've accomplished. Help us confess and repent honestly, brutally honestly, as you reveal things in our lives where we've replaced you with something else, something lesser. We've slipped into some other mode of living, saying, I'm a Christian and I'm okay. But not really following you as your disciple. Lord, bring those things to our minds so that we can surrender them back to you and receive your forgiveness. In your name, amen.
Ground, oh, thou art. Jesus shed his blood willingly. We celebrate. Celebrate what he did. His blood covers us. The things we've confessed, done, gone, handled, he took them on himself. They're buried in the deepest part of the sea, never to be dredged up. We've been made white as snow. As we pass around the juice representing Jesus' shed blood for us, this be a time of receiving his forgiveness, receiving his grace, his mercy. What he wants to say to us, I love you, my child. You are forgiven. Receive from him. Receive the encouragement he wants to give you today, the empowerment to live as we're called to live, not out of our own strength, but receive the strength he gives. Receive what God wants to give you during this time. And as we sing this song, or remain silent as the song is sung, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood that accomplished so much. Help us receive what we need to receive as we consider what you've done for us. In your name, amen.
Son, no sin too high, but you have sent him from your side. to be while on this guilty sod, and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they laughed and scorned Him as He died. The humble King they named a frog, and sacrifice the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. O wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but You have brought me to Your side, to be led by Your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
We get to be lambs, sheep of His pasture. He knows our names, forgiven, freed from sin, slavery, and bondage, and one day freed from death. Death, where is your sting? And freed to live as He's called us to live. Freedom in Christ. He's done so much. Receive it with gratitude. Well, thank You, Jesus. So much. We could go on and on praising You, worshiping You as is only a rightful response for all You are and all You've accomplished. And You're still working. Thank You for hearing our prayers today, God. Brothers and sisters experiencing horrible, horrible persecution. Thank You for meeting with them. Help us walk with one another, with You, and with our brothers and sisters around this globe, God. By Your power, walk in freedom and newness of life as You've purchased for us. Thank You for all that Your shed blood has accomplished.
Let's stand together for a closing song.
The wonder of Your cross shall be our meditation. Together in that shadow when the sun went down, weep with those who thought that you were leaving Jesus, the humble King who never wore an earthly crown, to steal away at night when they took down your body. With love and tears to leave you in a borrowed grave, to go with Mary to the place they laid you, where they laid you, Jesus, and in the morning time the stone was rolled away. The cross, oh, the wonderful cross. What glory, what victory I found. I'll come to the wonderful cross. And my whole life I lay down. Heaven's praise is silent in those hours of darkness. Your Holy Spirit brooding round that empty throne. Till the declaration, He is risen. You are risen, Jesus. He is not dead. Behold, He lives forevermore. The cross, oh, the wonderful cross. What glory, what victory I found. I'll come to the wonderful cross. And my whole life I lay down.
Let's sing that one more time.
The cross, oh, the wonderful cross. What glory, what victory I found. I'll come to the wonderful cross. And my whole life I lay down.
Lord Jesus, as we take time to come to the cross regularly, reflecting on who you are and what you've done